Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me Brother David Harris, and we're excited about the program this afternoon. We hope that you are too. Surely, if you've been listening to the radio station, you know that David and I are having a special edition of our program this evening, and we're dealing with something that's going on right here locally, or at least close to being locally in Stephenville, Texas, and we're dealing with the fact that at Tarleton State University, there's going to be a play, and it's called Corpus Christi. And David's going to have some more to say about that in just a moment, but we want to remind you, this is a live call-in talk show. And so we want to give you that number. You might grab a pen and piece of paper so that you can write it down. If you have a question or comment about this, call us at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. I'm going to turn it over to David right now, and David's got some valuable information he wants to talk about.
Okay, folks, if you're trying to call in today and you get a busy signal, be patient and use the email as much as you can. Be patient with us. We'll get to all the calls we can. Something horrible actually is going on right now at Tarleton State University. I found out about it early last week before the newspaper ever even got a hold of it. And I called once I found out what this play Corpus Christi was about. And just to give you a short synopsis of what it's about, the play is called Corpus Christi. And the Corpus Christi itself means the body of Christ. Even though it's the name of a town in Texas, that's what it means, is the body of Christ. And it's set to perform on March 27th of this month in the workshop inside the Fine Arts Center. And what this play does, it depicts a gay man whose life parallels the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the original play was written by Terrence McNally, and it's set in present-day Corpus Christi, Texas, where Jesus and his disciples, all of whom are homosexuals, have gathered, and he blesses a gay marriage, does all kinds of things that that the promoters of the homosexual radical agenda are claiming to do, and then at the end of the play, he is crucified and depicted as King of the Queers. Now, friends, this is blasphemy in its highest order. I called, once I found out that this was going on, I made a series of calls, stayed on the phone about four hours, and the first fellow that I talked to was a fellow by the name of Dale Cox, and he is the Fine Arts Department Program Coordinator. And I asked him about the play, and he said, well, you know, you can't believe everything that you hear about that. And I said, well, you can find out about what that play is if you'll just get on the internet and Google the thing. And he says, well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'll quote him, I'm not that interested. And he tried to defend what Tarleton was doing with the First Amendment right of free speech. And they're hiding behind this, and we'll get behind that later, too. It's been this First Amendment right of free speech is being unequally applied in many areas, and we'll get to that later on. So when I found out that I couldn't get anything done there, I called the head of the Fine Arts Department, which is Teresa Davidian. I was told she would call me back. She did not. I called again. I called to the provost, the vice president for academic affairs. His name is Dr. Gary Peer. He was supposed to call me back. He did not. I finally got a hold of someone in Dean of College of Fine Arts who was out of the office at that time. His name is Dean Minix, and he did call me back. And Dean Minix and I had a long visit, and I told him, as well as I told Dale Cox, I said, now, what part of this is fine and what part of this is art? There's nothing in here that is fine and certainly nothing artistic about what they're trying to do with Jesus. And he says, frankly, I don't know that much about the play, but I'm going to have to read up on it and see what I can do. And rest assured, I'll talk to the higher ups. Well, we gave a call to the president of the school, Dr. DeTavio, and his secretary told me that she would tell him to call me back. He did not. I invited Dean Minix to come on the show with us, told him I'd give him a microphone to talk and try to defend their position on this, and there was no response there. Finally, I was called back by Liza Benedict, and Liza Benedict has been appointed as the Assistant Vice President for Marketing and Communication at Tarleton State University, and she told me, I'm going to be happy to inform you that this play is not what they are saying that it's about. And I said, well, I've got the play right here in front of me. And she said, well, good, then you know it's not about Jesus. And I said, I know no such thing. I said, it is about Jesus. And what they're trying to do is saying because it is a parallel of Jesus' life, then it's not about Jesus. But it is about Jesus. That's right. And everybody knows it's about Jesus. And finally she says, well, we are bound by the First Amendment rights and academic standards for freedom of speech, and this higher education is all about an exchange of ideas. When I carry what Liza Benedict has told us here, and later on we're going to see and get another quote out of the newspaper that she just got through giving us, and there she says there's some irony that is associated with this play. We're going to deal with that in just a second, but what we need to understand is I ask every one of these people that talk to me in the administrative level, what would happen if I, David Harris, went up there to Tarleton State University and I had a play that was bashing all homosexuals, all blacks, and all Muslims? Would you let me do it? And the answer was, it depends on the circumstance. Now, Carrie, I have a hard time understanding how we can bash Jesus Christ, mock him, demean him, destroy every evidence of righteousness that belongs to the Son of God, how that's okay, but now it depends on the circumstance if I want to do it to somebody else that might get offended by it.
Well, David, you well know that back in December of 08, when you and I were first beginning this radio program,
yes,
we talked about that there is a systematic destruction of the foundations of America. Communism had some platforms that they wanted to do. Socialism has some platforms that they're trying to do. But a part of what they were trying to do, and we can just read the quote, they wanted to present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And David, we've seen that come to fruition right here in our own hometown.
Absolutely.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name, if you would, and then if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear it.
Michelle Kinzer. I'm kind of the one that found out about this and started emailing people.
Okay.
My daughter, Kaylee, is a sophomore at Huckabee High School.
Okay.
And she's involved in one-act plays. She's pretty talented in the theater area.
Yes.
And was very excited that during a one-act play high school practice, one of her peers that graduated from Huckabee came up to her, and he's in college, and he said, hey, you should try out for one of these plays we're having.
Okay.
And, of course, she was psyched because she's a high school kid.
Right.
Big deal. So she goes, and she was warned by this individual, oh, you don't want to try out for Corpus Christi. It's gay. It's about Jesus. And she was like, oh. And she was there while the monologue was read, and she was mortified. She did not decide to try out for that play, but there were, I think, three other plays also that she could try out for. She tried out for another play and was one of the only, I think, two high school students that got a part in a play. And she came home. She was, you know, we were excited for her.
Right.
And then she told me, Mama, she said, there's a play, and it just makes me sick. And she said, it's called Corpus Christi. And this individual, you know, I mean, oh, I, you know, I'm trying not to say names, but he was... they were so excited about this play, and she told me what it depicted.
Uh-huh.
And at first, my reaction was just sick. And her reaction was just sick.
She said,
Mom, I can't be involved in this play. And I said, okay, is it open to the public? Yes. You know, is it in the workshop theater? Yes. Is it free or do you pay admission? It's free. All of these things. And then I wept.
Yes.
And I wept. And I wept. And I prayed all night, Lord, you know, this is what you died for. You know, when you were on the cross, this is some of the pain that you experienced. And I can't stand it. It's blasphemy.
Yes.
What do I do? And it was get the word out. And I did. And it's just sickening. I think what I would urge people to do, I'm a season ticket holder, I have been for over 20 years, is put your money where your mouth is.
Amen.
Yes.
They depend on public funding. And if you do not agree with this play, do not buy tickets. Go to Cisco Junior College, watch a play. Go to Granbury, go to the Opera House, watch a play.
Yes.
Go to Bass Hall in Fort Worth, take your money somewhere else. And, you know, picketing, I thought about it, and then I thought, only thing I can do is get the word out and pray. If I'm picketing, what's that going to do? God gives everybody a choice. The play's probably going to go ahead and go on, whether I'm there picketing or whether I'm not. And I've decided to pray, but I've decided to put my money where my mouth is. And I've decided that my children will not go to Tarleton State University.
Well, Michelle, I do appreciate your stand on this, and I want to commend you for your daughter, Kaylee.
Oh, yes. Me too. I would like her to speak to you.
Yes, and put her on it just a second. I want to tell this young lady that she has done something that people with doctorates, people with masters, these individuals that are highly educated through our school systems and have all of these letters behind their name.
Yes.
She has got more sense at 15 years old than all of them do in the height of their career. And,
you're
and,
right.
And they're all saying that this is in the name of fine arts,
no.
That this is elevating education,
mm-hmm.
and it's elaborating all of the things that people are supposed to know when they go to school.
Wow.
And we've got a 15-year-old that understands more about life than a doctor does.
Well, I love her words. She said to me, Mama, we have to stand up for Jesus because he stood up for us. And I said, that's right, baby.
Amen.
And, out of the mouth of babes.
Right.
And so I told her, she's gotten some flack. You know, she's lost friends. But I told her, sometimes it's actually easier, I think, to die for Christ than to take a stand for him.
You're right.
But, you know, whatever we lose is nothing. Someday we're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, Kaylee, well done.
You know, Michelle, I think something that I find a little bit shocking is them trying to recruit high school children.
And I'm going to tell you, after I wept, I became enraged.
Okay? That's exactly right.
I mean, it didn't stay there. It didn't stay there, you know, over 24 hours of, oh, my gosh, poor Jesus. It stayed there like, oh, my gosh, I've got this is an abomination. This is blasphemy. This is against everything. Everything. And all I know is that in every society, going back, when the world gets like this, what does God do?
He destroys it.
You bet.
He wipes it out.
He takes those with him that are the believers and that stand firm. And I believe we're in the end days. And it's becoming where the right is wrong and the wrong is right.
Well, you hit that nail on the head on the Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 passages, where he says, woe unto them that call a light dark and dark light, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who put evil for good and good for evil, and we run into these things daily. But this is so obvious.
Yes.
This is so obvious, and you know, Carrie and I have been talking about this for a good long while. The radical homosexual agenda is being pushed by our government, and the government is behind it, and then we get our schools behind it. You know, sometimes Christians need to just stop and say, that's enough.
Well, you know, I think as a little girl, I grew up in Austin, and I remember going to the Capitol with my dad, and we would look at their Christmas tree, and we would look at the nativity set, And I thought about Marilyn, Madam, whatever, O'Hara, the lady.
Madeline, yeah. Mary O'Hara.
Just a handful of people.
That's right.
Decided, we don't want this under the Christmas tree. And it got thrown out. And I told Kaylee that story. And I said, you know, we're just, there's just two of us. And then there's my husband. And then there's my other daughter, Gabrielle.
Right.
And there's four of us. What can we do? Well, we're going to start making a noise.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And I would love if Kaylee wants to say something.
She's on the other phone. I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Okay.
Kaylee, tell us your story. Tell us how you got recruited to go and be a part of something as abhorrent as this.
All right. Well, I was at a birthday party, and the person who's in Corpus Christi right now, he asked me to go ahead and try out for it. He thought I had the potential. And I went to Tarleton tryouts, and there was three different plays, and every director said their monologue. And after the Corpus Christi was read, he didn't really say what it is, you know. He kind of was behind the words. And then once I read the monologue for myself in this part of the script, I couldn't believe it. And I'd already tried out for another play, and I'd gotten the part. And once I got it, I just knew it wasn't right to be in the position to be in a different play. I couldn't feel being right doing that.
Well, you are wise beyond your years. I wish we could send you up there to teach those professors a thing or two. Kaylee, we appreciate you and your mama, and y'all keep listening, and y'all keep calling, and y'all keep making noise, and we'll get the word out. Put your money where your mouth is. Let's get this thing stopped.
Right.
They are determined to get this thing on, and we have several days, and just as determinedly, we can say, no, we're not going to let you do it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you so much for calling.
You know, by the way, as David mentioned that, we've been talking about seven keys to personal growth. And one of the keys that we were looking at last week and we were going to continue to look at this week was determination. The devil is determined. There is no way that anybody knows anything about the Bible, knows anything about life, that doesn't understand that the devil is very determined. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is determined. And as David and I pointed out last week, Christians have to be more determined than the devil.
Absolutely.
And if we're going to fight this battle, folks, there's going to have to be a determination in our life, like Michelle and Kaylee just talked about, where we are determined we are not going to participate in things that are wrong. We are not going to stand by quietly while they crucify afresh the Son of God. And we appreciate that kind of determination. And David, this plays right into exactly what we've been talking about. And as we were saying just a few moments ago, this has been on the agenda since the 60s, mm-hmm. where they're trying to get the United States to accept homosexuality, other behaviors that are abhorrent in the eyes of God. They're trying to get them to accept them. And David, they've done this under the guise of tolerance.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we just need to tolerate. We need to be more tolerant of one another. We need to love one another more.
Which, by the way, brings up this little article that was written in the Stephenville Empire Tribune, quoting Liza Benedict, and the last part of her quote is this: "The university is a marketplace of ideas, and we encourage critical thinking. It's a part of the educational process." And then she says, part of the irony here is that this play is about tolerance, acceptance, despite our differences. Now, first of all, she says there's irony here. And the word itself means hypocrisy. The word itself means deception and feigned ignorance.
Yes.
And so she is accusing, just like everybody else does, Christians who would like to uphold Jesus Christ and His Word and His will, accusing them of being a bunch of hypocrites because they are not tolerant like Jesus Christ was. But we got a problem here.
That's right.
Evidently, Liza Benedict doesn't read her Bible.
Yes.
Because Jesus was never tolerant of homosexuality.
Jesus ever. Didn't tolerate sin.
No, sin in general.
That's right.
All sin.
All sin. I believe we've got a call coming across, but while that call is coming, y'all open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, because we'll come back to Matthew chapter 23. I believe there's something that we need to address that David has mentioned, but we do have a caller on the line. And caller, if you don't mind, just your first name and then a question or comment that you might have.
Well, David and Carrie, this is Zane.
Okay.
I was actually calling to talk to you guys. I know I don't call in much, and I should, but I remember my would have been my second semester here at Tarleton. There was a theme party, is what they called it, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
And the students were nailed to the wall because they felt that they had made fun of the black community. And I don't see how they can nail those students to the wall and it just goes nationwide that it's such a big deal for what they did, and they can still put this play on and embarrass Christians in this way.
Absolutely.
And disrespect Christ in such a way.
You know, Zane, you bring up a good point. Because we have, we just happen to have the newspaper articles from 2007 when that was done.
I'm looking at them myself right now.
And Dennis McCabe, it says here, did not mince words. Tarleton State University's president wasn't the least bit pleased after learning some TCU students had posted photos on the internet and said, and he said, were. Demonstrated such insensitivity. Now, that insensitivity that he's talking about evidently doesn't pertain to Christians.
And that's, I think that fits in real well with what you got, that First Amendment, they only want to apply it when it fits them just right.
Yes, sir, you are absolutely right, because what we have here is an unequal, unjust application of this First Amendment right. Like we said just a moment ago, when I asked them, could I put on a play that would denigrate homosexuals, blacks, and Jews? And you know, the basic reaction was, well, it just depends on the situation. And here, there is no situation. This is an absolute slap in the face at every Christian and every person that would uphold Christ. And by the way, we're the only advocates that he has. If Christians don't uphold Christ, no one will.
That's right.
And here we have them slapping him down and in the most derogatory way. And Zane, that's a very, very good point. And we're going to get into that just a little bit deeper as we go into this program today, Lord willing.
Okay. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
You betcha. Appreciate you calling.
Yes, sir.
Guys, we want to remind you the number, just in case you didn't get it jotted down earlier. The number to call if you want to be a part of the discussion is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
And be patient. There's a lot of call waiting coming in, and we're having trouble getting everybody's call through immediately. So be patient and just keep dialing the phone.
What we were talking about before Zane called was this fact that people have, and David and I did this, if you remember, right before we went through this, started this series on 7 Keys for Personal Growth, we went through the life of Christ, and we looked at how people really don't know who Jesus is. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had just come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of course, they responded by some say, "Well, that you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, or you're one of the prophets." And we pointed out that the thing that everybody was saying about Jesus had one common theme. They were all wrong.
Every one of them.
Every one of them. And sadly, people are wrong about who Jesus is today. To think that Jesus tolerates sin is wrong. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 23. Now, I'm not going to read the entire chapter of chapter 23, I'm going to highlight some things for you. Matthew 23 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of God against men, For you neither go in yourselves, neither allow ye them that are entering to go in. Now that starts this discussion. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I believe we have another call on the line, and so we're going to pause there in Matthew 23 and verse 14 and come back to that in just a moment. Caller, if you would, just give us your first name and your question or comment.
Hi, this is Kaylee Kinser again.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say one thing that I meant to say before. First of all of the crew members are getting letters from the director of the play, originally Terrence McNally. I think he's the writer of the play, actually.
Yes.
And I just think it's the letters of support to each cast member. And I also just wanted to say that this is not gay bashing. That has no, it's when you bring Jesus into it. I mean, gay play would be bad enough, but when you bring Jesus, this is just, we have to take a stance. And they're bending the Bible to where it can fit them.
Yes, Kayla, you're exactly right. And David and I talked about that before we went on the air. We certainly don't want people to walk away and think that we are condoning the idea that we ought to go out and beat up homosexuals.
Yeah.
or shoot homosexuals. Mm-hmm. or even call them derogatory names. That's not what this is about.
Right.
This is about showing that God, there are lifestyles that God says are an abomination in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
People that are living in adultery, people that are living in fornication, people that are living in sin in general, whatever sin that might be. David and I have tried to be very careful to make sure that we understand that in the eyes of God, there's not a little white lie and a great big black lie. All liars, the Bible said, are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so David and I are concerned with all sin, not just the sin of homosexuality. And Kaylee, I appreciate you reminding us of that and bringing that to our attention, because we don't want this to turn into something that would be contrary to... John, who writes the book of 1 John, tells us in 1 John chapter 3, mm-hmm, that if we hate our brother, we're a murderer.
Right.
Hatred is not a Christian virtue, and we don't hate people that are involved in sin. We're trying to show them the light of the gospel and help them to come out of that. And Kaylee, I appreciate you bringing that out.
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Let's get back to Matthew 23 and this misconception that Jesus tolerated sin. Now, Jesus is not accusing these scribes and Pharisees of being just gross, immoral people. He's telling them, you're living contrary to the law of God.
That's
and it needs to change. Verse 15, Matthew 23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides. We could go on and on. I think you see the point.
And the point that he's making here is even though he values their soul, he does not value their lifestyle.
That's right.
And he is condemning the lifestyle and yet at the same time loving their soul. Yes, he is a loving God, but he is a judging God too.
Yes, yes.
Caller, would you give us your first name and give us your comment, please?
Yes, this is Charles.
Yes, Charles.
You know, whenever people look at the Bible and the New Testament here, we can see that those people making the same comments about Jesus haven't read the Bible. Number one, it doesn't take much reading to see that Peter was married. He wasn't a homosexual.
Yeah,
right.
And the next thing is, the lady that mentioned about art, this was a form of art. Well, God showed us in the Old Testament what he thought about the homosexual art. He destroyed it when we read about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
And the next thing is Jesus, which was guided his apostles into all truth and brought to their remembrance all things, gave the apostle Paul the words in Romans chapter 1, verse 27. He said, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, man with man working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And then you drop down to verse 32. It says, "In knowing the judgment
Charles,
of God."
Charles.
Yes.
Turn your radio down, please.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Had a little bleed over.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that. In verse 32 says, "And who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we have the Apostle Paul here writing in Romans, but then we see over here when he's writing to the Corinthians, what you and Brother Terry were just now talking about, he wants these homosexual people to repent.
Yes.
He says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he talks about the effeminate and homosexuals. But he says, this is what you can do to get out of this situation. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be sanctified and justified because you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he presents the problem, but he also presents the solution.
Absolutely.
Amen. We thank you, Charles.
Good call, Charles. Good
thank
call.
You.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Guys, the number to call again is 254-445-2473, and I've been told sometimes I give that number too fast, so I'm going to give it again, 254-445-2473. And as David said a moment ago, if you're calling, be patient with us, because we know that there are some that are trying to get through, and you're getting a busy signal, so wait till the next caller and then try to call back as quickly as possible. I know we have another caller on the line, and caller, again, we just ask that you give your first name, and if you have a question or comment, we would appreciate it.
Well, Gary and David, this is Jason. What concerns me about this is the fact that they are recruiting these high school students.
Yes, exactly.
To come and be in this play, and it all goes back to this radical homosexual and other sin agenda to indoctrinate children,
yes,
when they are young,
yes,
that there's nothing wrong with this.
Well, you bring up a good point, and right now, and this has nothing to do with a Democratic administration, but right now the administration of the highest order in the United States of America has a safe school czar that is trying to promote a radical homosexual agenda through our school system, beginning in the first grade. And you know, if we don't stand up and say enough is enough, all of this stuff is going to get done. But we can't stand by idly and allow it to happen.
Exactly. Well, I remember I've been out of school now for almost 22 years. I'll be 40 years old here in just a little less than a month. And I was in all the plays and different things like that when I was in the jock type, so football didn't interest me. But I remember that when I was doing, for instance, one-act plays in the UIL level, and I don't know the rule, you could not use the word God on stage, like, for instance, a character in Don't Take Me Out of Context might say, "Oh, my God."
Right.
You could not say that on stage. Now, if it was in a context of talking about something biblical or something like that. We used to have rules in this country, and just in the last 20 years, these kinds of things have flown out the window. At the university level, it was a little more liberal, a little more loose than what it was at the school level. But now we're recruiting these high school kids to go in and accept this.
You're correct.
It bothers me. Me more than anything about this whole thing.
Well, yeah, and you know that just, you know, it was bad enough all by itself, but when you go in there and you try to recruit minors,
yes,
to be a part of a play that ought to have an X rating on it, or maybe it ought to be banned for its total obscenity. And you recruit minors to play in this. Now, you have taken it to a whole nother level.
And, Jason, I also understand that the language in the play, you talked about there being, you know, these rules that were in place so you couldn't say certain words. And we all remember when and I say we remember, I wasn't alive at the time, but when Gone with the Wind came out and there was a curse word, which by what people say today is very minor in the minds of most people, and that show just, oh, people were up in arms. I can't believe that you're going to allow this on the big screen, and now you've got language on television that is atrocious. And this play is filled with vulgar, obscene language, and we're wanting our minor children to say this on a play. Jason, we appreciate that very much.
One other quick point, too.
Yes, sir.
I majored in journalism in college. Mm-hmm. I am all about the First Amendment and freedom of speech and so forth and rights and all of that. But there's an old saying that my rights end where your nose begins.
That's right.
And, you know, I have a right to say what I want to say in the country, but there are also consequences to it.
Yes.
Right.
And these people who are defending this through Tarleton need to understand that there will be consequences among Hope, are supporters of that school, who suddenly realize what's going on with behind the doors of that academic institution.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a good call. And what you said about rights, you know, they may have the First Amendment right to do what they're doing, but, Jason, it doesn't make it right. You know, there
in
are
the
consequences.
Eyes of God, yeah.
Yes, there are consequences. Absolutely. Good call, Jason. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
And again, we want to remind you the number to call is 254-445-2473. We realize, and also the email, if you can't get through, send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And we've got another caller on the line, but I want to say, folks, we appreciate your response this afternoon. And caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name and your question or comment.
This is Caleb.
Caleb.
And how are y'all doing?
We're
doing great.
How are
thank you?
I could be better, but you know, we have to hear about this stuff all the time, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's true. Well, listen, I had a couple things here. You know, Patrick Henry once said, it cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. But as Patrick Henry knew something, by the way, he said this in like 1765.
Right.
Patrick Henry knew something that we as Americans take for granted in this country, that this country is a Christian nation.
Yes.
This country wasn't founded upon Christian people. It's a Christian nation.
Right.
We allow others to live here because we understand what the Bible teaches about freedom of speech or
yes.
freedom of religion or these other. And I missed the first about 20 minutes. My internet's kind of messing up here, so
okay.
I apologize if I'm maybe going over a few things that, you know, but, you know, listen, here's what, you know, the atheists or these people, these homosexuals and all this, the progressives,
yes.
You know, they say to us, oh, we're tired of being, patronized by, you know, all these Christians.
Yes.
Well, just one example, if I may.
Yes.
At the same time, this was going on a couple years ago in the Alabama State Constitution or Alabama State House.
Right.
They were told that they couldn't put up a plaque of the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Now, at the same time, in another state, in California, they were parading around a sign that said of all the war veterans that were gay, homosexual, transvestite,
right.
and lesbian.
Right.
Now, that's the hypocrisy that we have allowed to persist to a point that now we're seeing a bubbling over of these things.
Yes, yes.
And I think the real question is, can we as government, that is, we as a nation that represent people to go to our government for us, can we, as those that allow government, regulate certain things, even, by the way, religious things? And by the way, let me make this a stronger point. In 1862, the United States Supreme Court said that polygamy could be outlawed by the federal government. That is, the practice of Mormons
right.
At that point was seen as was outlawed as ungodly by the court. Now, my question to those today is, if the government, our government, can, because of their moral grounds upon which we stand, say that that a practice of religion is wrong because it doesn't fit Christianity, then why can't we do that today in issues such as abortion, homosexuality, and all these other issues that we might come in contact with?
Yes.
Well, good call, Caleb. We appreciate you calling in, and we see the hypocrisy on the application of this First Amendment right.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
It seems to apply to anybody but somebody that wants to stand up for what's right.
Exactly. We've got another call on the line, but I need to read this email. It says, I was under the impression that the Constitution of this country was meant to protect race, ethnicity, and religion, and Tarleton itself has at the bottom of each of its employment applications, based on Executive Order 11246, it cannot discriminate based upon race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And the questioner says, how can they advocate affirmative action and ignore religion? And that's a good point. It's a very good point. And again, what we have here is an unequal application of the First Amendment right of freedom to speech.
Yeah.
That's all we have. Do we have a caller on the line, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, caller, would you give us your name and make your comment for us, please?
This is Curtis.
Curtis. Yes, sir.
And the way the approach to have Tarleton prevent this from taking place is wrong. Because I don't want the state telling me that I can or cannot practice my religion. So what the approach needs to be is Jesus came for the person, not for a government or an institution, is we need to approach the young man that is doing this and explain to him how it's wrong. And Christians fall to our knees and ask God to intervene on our behalf to prevent this sin from being placed into the public eye to where our children sit all the time.
Well,
I mean, I don't want the government telling me what I can and can't do because I get my morals from a higher authority.
Well, but we are constantly told what we can and cannot do. I mean, we have laws and we have and the Constitution is a good freedom of right law. I want everybody to have the freedom to have free speech and to do what they want to do. But this has absolutely nothing to do with free speech. This is demeaning, demoralizing, mocking, and actually discriminating against an entire group of people called Christians, and they're hiding behind the First Amendment law here.
How is this discrimination?
How is it discrimination? Discriminates
yes,
against Christians? Because we can't go on the campus. They won't let us go on the campus and give us a venue where we can dispel the absolute myth and the lie that they're trying to propagate with this play.
But they can't prevent us from being there and praying. This, and believe me, I disagree. This is the wrong thing. I mean, it's as sinful and blasphemous as it can be. Jesus is used to persecution, and that's what he's receiving from the people today.
Sure.
And we as Christians are told time and time again that persecutions will come.
Right.
And that we look to Jesus. And our concern should be for this young man's soul, because we know by his mere actions where eternity will be spent for him.
Well, that's true,
and I can go to Dublin High School and pray. There is no law against it. My children can pray in class. What they can't do at the school is the school cannot say, "We're going to have this Christian prayer and we're going to lead it for you." I can pray at a football game. There's no law that prevents me from doing that.
Well, yeah, but let's not get apples and oranges mixed up here. Yes, we are to pray. That is one good thing that we can do. Yes, we can withhold our money. That's another good thing we can do. As far as talking to this young man, I personally have not done it. They are withholding his name, so I don't even know who he is that is directing this play. But it goes beyond this one man right here. There are at least 20 people involved in this play, Curtis.
Yes,
20
sir.
People. I don't know the names of these people. I don't know who they are. I do know this, that the Tarleton State Administration is backing them up wholeheartedly, and they are bound and determined that these kids are going to do this.
They're not backing them up. They cannot prevent them by law.
Okay,
so
they can.
So can they have a play then that would use words that would describe a particular race in a derogatory way and describe a particular race as being completely ignorant based upon the simple fact of the color of their skin? Would that be allowed?
They cannot prevent it.
Oh yes,
they have.
Yes, they can. No. We've got newspaper articles.
If I was a student in that class and chose to do a play that contains those things,
listen to this, Curtis.
And I have not caught all your shows, so there might be information you have that I don't.
A student in Los Angeles at a community college. His name apparently is Jonathan Lopez. This is from a newspaper article. Was given an assignment for a public speaking class, and he spoke about Christian values. The professor interrupted his speech, called him a horrible name, and refused to let him finish the assignment, and told the other students in the class, quote, if you're offended, you can leave. When those students left, the professor then dismissed the class. He refused to give the student a grade for his speech and said, why don't you ask, quote, here's what he said, ask God what your grade is, end of quote. So, Curtis, I think what we're seeing here, and this is what has got David and I so upset, is that we want to say on one hand you have the right to have freedom of speech, but you said just a moment ago you cannot stand up in school and pray right now. That is quenching freedom of speech.
Be disruptive to the class when you pray.
Okay, this young man at a college was doing his assignment and was stopped.
But you're saying apples and oranges. Here we've got a professor saying, no, you can't do it in my classroom.
Yes.
On this hand, we've got going on at Tarleton, we're saying the administration is standing up for it. The administration is saying because of the freedom of speech, there's nothing that can be done. We are a state institution.
No, it is also a publicly funded institution. It's your
tax dollars. Yes,
and I'll guarantee you.
It's a government institution.
I'll guarantee you, if the professor of that class had said, no, you're not going to do that, it would all been done. It would have been over.
Would you have a problem if a Muslim showed up at our high school and was allowed to pray as long as they allowed the Christians to pray?
Well, that's
the reason it had to come to a stop. If the state says that the Christians can pray, then they have set forth.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was a Muslim, and they were talking about Muhammad in the same fashion that we're talking about Jesus Christ here, I'll guarantee you what would happen up there at Tarleton State University. It wouldn't be by me, but you know what would happen.
The infidels should be destroyed.
They're not going to put up with that. They're not going to put up with that. But, you know, in a Christian standpoint here, we are told in Jude verse 3 to earnestly contend for the faith. That means fight for it, Curtis.
Yes, sir.
Fight for it. And I am fighting for it the best way that I know how. And I am not going to tolerate them calling Jesus those things, and not without a fight. Now, they may get it done.
And you're absolutely right. And Peter, as an example, when they come to lay hands on Jesus in the garden, before his time had come, had took his sword and he knocked the ear off of the
soldier.
And Jesus took it because he knew that he had to go through what he had to go through. And we have come to the time in our history that we are following the same path that the Romans had followed.
Yeah.
That we will destroy ourselves because sin will swallow us up.
There's no doubt about that.
I agree with it, but we have to take our concerns to the individual. You know, it says earnestly go for that faith.
Yes, earnestly contend for the faith.
I can only tell folks what God has done for me and commanded to do so in the Great Commission, teaching others whatsoever I have commanded you.
And that's what we're trying to get across here, Curtis, is
right.
To understand that that Christianity is being attacked. And as our rights, as the First Amendment right, we can stand up and speak out against this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we can stand and go in force in front of Tarleton at the sidewalks. I don't know if we have to be permitted or not the day that the play is put on and show our disgust and our I believe that if we've done a little research, we can find out who's in that particular drama class and have it narrowed down to a few folks.
Well, and that goes to the protection of the privacy. They're not going to be able to give those names out to us, and we understand why they're not going to do that.
Well, they're not, but it's a public institution. It is public record at some place.
Yes. Okay, we appreciate you, Curtis. Yeah,
okay,
appreciate your call.
You.
All right, friends. Again, the number to call, and I know that there are people that are trying to get through. The number is 254-445-2473, and I hear the phone ringing again, and so David's got a comment here.
Yeah, let's get the email out here, too. For you that can't get through, if you'll just zap us an email right quick at rocketmail, KEQX at rocketmail.com, we'll read those just as quickly as we'll take your calls. We do have a caller on the line. Would you give us your name and make your comment, please?
Yes. My name is Gabby, and I might be very young and not know much, but one thing that I do know is that God created this nation, and without him, we wouldn't be living. And he even states it in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, and they're trying to take that out. And that's just not right. We should be proud that he's even in our lives. And without him, our plays and stuff wouldn't even be existing. We wouldn't be anything without him.
Gabby, you're exactly right. And I want to remind everybody of something that a caller previously said, Caleb, talking about Patrick Henry saying, it cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This nation was founded on biblical principles. And Gabby, you're right. The only reason that this nation is here is because God has allowed it and blessed it.
Yes, and he gave us the air to breathe and the grass to walk
Amen.
On and a roof over our heads
That's
to protect
right.
us.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Abby, we appreciate you calling in and giving us your comments. I'd like to read one passage of Scripture to go along with what you just got through saying. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Carrie, that statement right there tells us that every gift, everything we have, comes right straight from the throne of God.
Yes.
And we don't ever need to forget that. And Man. And when we see people demeaning Christianity, demeaning Jesus Christ, we've got to fight. We are the absolute only advocates that Jesus Christ has. Nobody else is going to do the fighting.
Yeah.
Prayer is good, but we've got to come out. We've got to come out with a spiritual sword and get it done. Caller, would you give us your first name, please?
One
caller,
more.
You're on the air.
Hey, this is Charles. It's interesting. If a man went out into the community there at Stephenville and tried to invite a 15-year-old girl to come be part of a heterosexual sex play, he would be arrested and put in prison. And yet, the opposite standard occurs on the college campus, and it's tolerated and allowed.
Well, that's a point I hadn't thought about.
Charles, we appreciate that. That's a good point.
Very good point.
Thank y'all very much.
You bet.
Appreciate your good work.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Along with what was mentioned just a moment ago, we have people, Curtis mentioned just a moment ago that they can't stop this. The fact of the matter is, this play is not put on because of its merits. When we looked up the play, we also looked up all of the reviews that came along with the play when it initially came out in 1998 in Manhattan. And there was not one single good review that came out of this. Not because it had anything to do with calling Jesus Christ a homosexual, but because there was no merit to the play. It was just a bad, bad play. And so you take this and you ask yourself the question, well now, why would anybody want to direct a play for a grade that has absolutely no good merit to it? It's a bad play. Why would you want to do that? And the only answer to that is to promote the radical homosexual agenda, which is being shoved down everybody's avenue here harder than we can imagine. We've got to stand up and stop it. It just, you know, you just can't keep on taking this kind of abuse and then not saying anything about it. I think we've gotten to this point because in years gone by, and Sam and I were talking about this the other day, they took prayer out of school. Well, when they took prayer out of school, they took God out of school. And we find that incrementally, little by little by little, we have some of our rights as Christians taken away. And finally, we have this hate crimes bill that was put in on the coattails, which gives special rights and privileges to the homosexual community. More so than any other person on the face of the earth, the homosexual community has got more rights than we've got in the United States of America.
Well, and David Charles had a very good point. If this was trying to convince people to be, to have someone portray heterosexual sex, with a minor, they would be arrested. We have another email that has come across, and I'm not going to read all that the email has to say, but it says, "What has saddened me about this play more than anything else? One of the student actors told me very boldly that he was proud to be gay, and because of how people were reacting about it, he was ashamed to be a Christian. How sad that is." And she goes on to explain, the man was raised in the church. He has a minister for a father and is ashamed of being a Christian. Something is extremely wrong here. And I did go ahead and read the whole email. It saddens me that people are ashamed of the gospel. And Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We need to be ashamed of sin, folks. Sin is glorified in America. You turn on the television, you listen to the radio, you listen to what's going on the movies and everything. And you've got sin being glorified. David mentioned Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 5 earlier, where we're calling good evil, we're calling light darkness, and all these kinds of things that are going on. And Christians, it's time for us to stand up. David?
Amen. There's in these reviews that we read, there was also a part of these reviews, and I've got a big stack of papers here. I'll see if I can find these reviews in just a moment. The reviews, several of these reviews indicated that if you did not like this play, that you were a gay hater. And a lot of these reviews, they kept talking about the people that were protesting, and they called all of the protesters gay haters. It had nothing to do with what they were protesting. They're protesting the degrading of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
And they want to call them gay haters. And I want to read you just one of these reviews. It says, "The most distressed over the play's long-term effect on a serious theater was Fenton O'Toole of the Daily News in Manhattan." And he says, quote, "The cranks, the bigots, who can condemn Terrence McNally's controversial gay Jesus play without having seen it, don't realize how lucky they are. It seems rather unjust that the open-minded liberals have to sit through the thing before condemning it. This play is not worth anyone's anger nor anyone's brave defiance. If there is to be outrage, let it be at the MTC's appalling failure of artistic judgment. If there is to be free speech, let it be used to debate how political theater can recover from this fiasco." Now, that ought to tell you something about how bad this play is.
Yes.
But even then, as bad as it is, everybody else that didn't like it, that didn't have a pen to write the review, he was a gay hater, and what else did he call him? A gay hater and prejudice and a crank, a bigot. And we need to understand that this prejudice goes both ways. And this is one of the things that this First Amendment right to free speech is not covering that we're looking at tonight. The unequal covering of it, the prejudice runs both ways. The prejudice toward Christianity is outrageous. Outrageous. And, well, we didn't have a call. We thought we had a call, but we didn't have a call. Folks, it is time to take a break. And Sam, are we going to come back for a little bit after the break? Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come right back, and we'll take some more of your calls, and we'll make a few closing comments. Thank you very much for tuning in. The call, the numbers are 254-445-2473.
Hello, friends. Tommy Hooker here. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Pure Country, KEQX 89.7, Stephenville, Meridian, and Walnut Springs.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
All right, we're back on the air, and I understand that we have another call on the line. So, caller, if you would, give your name and then question or comment, if you don't mind.
This Charles again.
Hey, Charles.
Hi there. I just wanted to address three physical and mental and spiritual states of a homosexual individual, and each one of us, actually. Number one, spiritually, a homosexual is lost according to the Bible. Number two, the highest rate of depression and suicide is among the homosexual gay people. And number three, addressing the physical aspect, most homosexuals die an early death, and they leave a path of death and destruction in their wake, and frequently leave things that cause death in other individuals. And finally, the financial cost and burden to themselves, their families, and to our nation is astonishing and astronomical. Why would you want to be a part of anything that causes these particular problems?
Well, that's a good point, Charles. And a lot of times we fail to see those physical aspects of what's going on here. Most certainly, we need to be concerned with the soul of everyone.
Yes.
We don't condone what they do. As a matter of fact, we condemn the sin, not because we do, but because the Bible does. But each and every one of these folks have a soul, and as long as there's life in them, they can repent, and they can get things straight again. And we need to work toward that end as well. Thank you for the call, Charles. We appreciate you calling and appreciate you paying attention to what's going on here and your input also. Thank you so much.
Great work. Thank you all very much. Bye-bye.
I do want to read something that we read earlier and just remind us of that. And it's time for us to wrap this up this evening. And so we're gonna come back to this, Lord willing, next week. And so we want to invite you to participate in that. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse number 9, that know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now watch this. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to verse 11, and this is the good news of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And such were some of you. You used to be that way, but you changed. You used to be a fornicator, but you stop. You used to be an idolater, but you stop. You used to be an adulterer, but you stop. You used to be effeminate or a homosexual, you stop. You used to be a thief, but you stop. On and on. Such were some of you. Folks, we want to help you out of that. And that's what we're here for. And you were washed, he said, and sanctified. I know we have another call on the line, and so, caller, if you don't mind, give us your name and your number, or your name and your comment, please.
This is Barry, and you just read the scripture I was looking at, and you think about why they have this agenda. If you stop right there where they say, you know, we're homosexual, we're going to stop right there, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, if they're not willing to change their life, they have to create a different Jesus than what's in the Bible,
yes,
or they're lost.
Right.
And it's purely a mindset. They've got to decide, you know what, what's more important, what I feel or what I think now or eternal life. And that's not judging from a man's standpoint. That's simply reading what Paul, which many homosexuals want to say Paul was a homosexual. Well, if Paul was a homosexual, he condemned them. He condemned himself in that writing. So that proves that he wasn't. But they need to realize, or, you know, we need to help and help teach that, you know, because you are turned toward whatever sin it is, not just homosexuality, but anything else, you can turn away from it. It's simply looking at what God's Word says and then doing it. And it's not a judging thing there. It's just simply that the scripture says you will not inherit. So you have to decide, does the word of God really mean it or not?
Well,
that's
my
comment.
And the context, thank you very much, Barry, the context in which that is given shows us that all of this, every one of those sins that are mentioned there, they're all choices that we make.
That's right.
Every one of us. No, nobody can say, well, I can't help it. Because we can help it.
I can't help being a thief. Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't work.
I can't help it. No, that never does go over. And so we want to, I guess we're going to, we got anybody left on the line, Chris? Okay. We want to let everybody know that we are as determined here at the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We are as determined to stop evil as they are determined to put it forth.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all of your calls. We appreciate all of the emails. And I understand many of you had a little bit of trouble getting on the web. And for those that had that problem, we apologize. I don't know just exactly what all was going on. We had some other calls coming in said that they had a little problem doing that also. We do appreciate your calls. And we want you to know that we're here for your behalf. We want to... And our motto has always been, you've heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. And what we've been looking at tonight is what men have thought up and tried to create that just absolutely is not in the Bible, and that is a homosexual Jesus. There is no such thing and never will be, never has been.
Amen. Amen.
Terry, give you the last word.
Well, folks, again, I want to say how much I appreciate the calls, and I really want to say how much I appreciate the tone. If you notice, we were very careful not to be derogatory. We weren't trying to bash anybody, but we're trying to stand up for the truth. And we appreciate the tone of the calls very much. And as we mentioned earlier, we'll come back to this, Lord willing, next week. And we do thank you for your time and your participation.